Isaiah 40, 1 through 5. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill be made low, the crooked straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory shall be of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Thus saith the Lord, this is Haggai 6 and 7, and Malachi 3, verses 1 through 3. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once in a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desires of all nations shall come. The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide in the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Isaiah 7, 14, and Matthew 1, 23. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Isaiah 40, verse 9, and Isaiah 60, verse 1. O thou that tellest good tidings to Zion, get thee up into the high mountain. O thou that tellest good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up, be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee.
Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Amen. And then I'll read Romans Chapter 8, 38 and 39, it says, For I am sure that neither life nor death, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then our last one we'll read together is Galatians 4, 13 and 14. Join me. For we were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. My mom has some readings for us that go along with this theme.
One song written by Christina Rossetti in 1893. Love came down at Christmas, love all lovely, love divine. Love was born at Christmas, star and angels gave the sign. Worship we the Godhead, love incarnate, love divine. Worship we our Jesus, but wherewith for sacred sign? Love shall be our token, love be yours and love be mine. Love to God and all men, love for plea and gift and sign. And then another poem by Joe Briscoe. Divinity wrapped in a blanket. Divinity wrapped in a blanket, laid in the arms of the race, slept while his father kept silent, watching with tears on his face. The Godhead resides in a body so weak and incredibly small. While angels bereft of their treasure try to make sense of it all. Divinity wrapped in a baby, how simple, yet simply profound. Like the kings and the shepherds I worship and bow myself down to the ground. Infinity chose to be finite. Omniscience made himself known. Omnipotence laid down his power. Emmanuel made my heart home. Unspeakable gift, softly spoken. Unimaginable love made so clear. Immeasurable grace of the Father, bringing us all nations so near. Divinity wrapped in a blanket, eternity visiting time. Stopped all the clocks in the heavens as God chose to make himself mine.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them,
Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy to bring to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger.
And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told concerning this child. And all that they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them.
This is Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 12, about the wise men. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, Where is the one that has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, They returned to their country by another route.
This is the poem we said for the program. The Two Kings. King Herod sat down at his bountiful feast and rubbed his fat hands with glee. Puddings and wines, all kinds of smoked beasts, as far as his small eyes could see. The servants brought more in the hullabaloo, and the tables just groaned with the weight. When all was done, King Herod groaned too from the platefuls of food that he ate. He roared a command from his gold-plated chair. Eight servants appeared at his call. With great effort, they hoisted him into the air and carried their load down the hall. They turned and they entered the large, lavish room where his dancers and drummers awaited. They'd have to play well, or they knew they'd be doomed, and they drummed for the man that they hated. A servant appeared and approached Herod's side. He glared at the sudden intrusion. "What now is your plea?" Herod roared from his ride. The servant shrank back in confusion. "Oh, sir, King Herod, your majesty blessings, I have not a favor to ask you. Just this, three men in elaborate dressing have come and are wanting to see you." The king's royal eyebrows shot up in surprise, for this was a notable thing. Then a look of delight came into his eyes as he thought of the gifts they might bring. "About turn!" he yelled to his load-bearing slaves, and with caution their burden was turned. Their lives were on call to the king's shouts and raves, yet inside them a bitterness burned. To the great room they went, where their task was relieved, and the king waddled up to his throne. "Send them in!" and the servants prepared to receive these strangers whose cause was unknown. The tall gilded doors swung noiselessly in, and King Herod bent forward with glee. His smallest concern was the health of the men. Rich presents he wanted to see. With a slow, measured step, they walked into the room, and the men of the east stood before them. Their clothing was stately, adorned with perfume, and they bowed to the ruler before them. "O king, live forever," the middle one said. He bowed once again with decorum. "We have studied the stars and the prophecies read, and have heard of a powerful kingdom." King Herod sat back, smugly thinking, "Of course, which knave has not heard of my power?" He murmured, "Speak on," in a honey smooth voice, half expecting the strangers to cower. "Where is he that is born, the king of the Jews?" politely inquired the same. "We discovered his star, which has told us the news of his birth, and to worship we came." The effect that his question put forth on the king could hardly be soon overstated. He choked on his tongue, and his eyes became rings. His immediate health seemed ill-fated. With all of the strength he was able to muster, he sought to control his unease. The sages appeared not to notice his fluster, or sweat, or his quivering knees. He sent the men out with a wave of his hand, and called in his chief priests and scribes. "What means this?" he roared. "A king in my land? Quick, find where this new king abides!" With hasty maneuvers, the scrolls were soon found, and they read from the prophets of old. "The king shall be born in Bethlehem town, in Judah, for thus it is told." King Herod was stumped. Now what should he do? Then his favorite consultant approached him, a sly, shady man with the look of a shrew, who was feared by the people that knew him. With the ruler's permission, he stood by the throne and spoke in low tones to the king. King Herod lit up like a dog on a bone at the scheme the man thought up to bring. "Why, of course! What a simple solution it was!" And he wiggled his toes in his glee. He roared a command in the room's steady buzz and called for the voyagers three. The chief priests and scribes scurried out of the room as the three noble strangers came in. With a counterfeit look of sincerest concern, King Herod inquired of the men, "Just when did you see this strange star in the sky?" And they answered as best as they knew, Then the king got a strange sort of gleam in his eye, and he told them just what they should do. Leaning forward, he spoke in a jovial tone, with a voice that was silky and oiled. "Of course, we have heard of this king that was born, and his lineage is flawless and royal. He is said to abide in a certain small town called Bethlehem." Herod now smiled. "Make haste and send word once the king has been found, for I too long to worship this child." The three men bowed low as they gave a few gifts. King Herod had hoped for some more. But with dignified step, they retreated and left, and the great room was bare as before. A wide, twisted smile creased the king's pudgy face. His hands greased the sides of his throne. His cackle re-echoed across the room's space with a horrible, fiendish tone. His throne stood no danger of being upturned by some king from a lowly estate. That king would be dead ere the calendar turned, and his sunken eyes narrowed in hate. "Ha! Worship indeed! What an excellent show! His competitor soon would be slain. As soon as the strangers returned, he would go, but King Herod would wait in vain."
I often try to visualize that moment when the wise men fell to the ground and worshiped. What was going through their hearts and minds? For our devotional this morning, I would just like to turn to Matthew chapter 1. And just thinking about this and meditation on it, I was so blessed with a tremendous message of hope that's in this passage. The passage in the conclusion talks about God being with us, and he wants to be with us this morning. He longs to be with us. You know, one of the moments in my life when everything really looked dark was sitting in a dentist chair. How many of you guys enjoy the dentist chair? Not too many of you. I was sitting there waiting for the big needle to coming into my mouth because he was going to take this awful drill. I don't know why this stuck in my mind all through the years, but as I'm sitting there waiting for the needle and the drill, I looked up, and up on the ceiling there was a poster that said, "When the outlook looks dark, try looking up." And I thought, "Oh yes, Lord, it doesn't matter what happens here. I'm looking up." And that's the message that I think of when I think of Emmanuel, God with us. Hope. The outlook today is so dark, but the uplook is bright. Hallelujah. You know, if you will look at the last part of chapter 1, you come across words like, names like Boaz, Ruth, Rahab, Bathsheba, and Tamar. And you think of all the ugly things that happened connected with those names. And then you have this bright message of hope at the end. Jesus came that we might be not just delivered while we were in sin. No, he came to deliver us from our sins. Hallelujah. If you look at verse 16, chapter 1, it says, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations. and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. We'll just pause there for a moment. As I was pondering this and thinking about how Joseph was feeling at this moment, here, the contract of marriage, which basically was what was happening when they were betrothed to one another. It was like a contract, and the only way that could be broken would be through divorce, a writing of divorcement. They weren't really married, but in the Jewish law, when you made the covenant together to be married, it was like a contract, and it could not be broken unless there would be a bill of divorcement. And so here's Joseph. He's struggling. What in the world? What do I do? And he was thinking. The Bible says he was a just and righteous man. So here's this just, righteous man trying to deal with this that did not look good. And he thought, in his kindness and his love toward his wife-to-be, Mary, he thought, you know, I'm not going to do what Judah did I can't remember the whole story, when the lady was caught in adultery or fornication. He said, burn her publicly. She needs to be burned. And Joseph did not respond that way at all, but he was thinking. He was very thoughtful, pondering this. And, you know, God loves when we sit and think and ponder and not be impulsive. And if Joseph would have been very impulsive, he would have just said, this is it, I'm done, and gone through with it. But he was thinking. And that's when God worked this powerful messenger, the angel. It was like an express coming. No, Joseph, don't do this. It was like an express telegram. And because of Joseph's righteousness and being a just man and being a very thoughtful, considerate, kind man, he was able to hear the voice of God through the angel. And the angel sent that powerful message to him, said, don't do it, Joseph. Because it says, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife. Relax, Joseph, it's okay, because this thing that's happening in your wife-to-be is conceived of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. And I was thinking of the Hebrew name that goes along with Jesus, Yeshua. And Yeshua is the same as Joshua. And just as Joshua led the children of Israel to victory, Jesus was sent by God so that we could be led to victory and free from our sins. For he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted Is God with us? Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. And in closing, I would like to quote a scripture that really stirred my heart from Isaiah 8. It's found in verse 14. For the believer who embraces the warm reality of Jesus Christ, Jesus is a sanctuary. As the verse says, and he shall be a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to those who reject Jesus. And it uses the word the houses of Israel who were rejecting Jesus. And it became a stone of offense to the Jewish leaders and a stumbling to many of the Jews. And it is today, even in our world, those of us who have experienced Jesus and we embrace him as, and we find him a sanctuary that we can go to and hide, as David says in Psalm 27. He's like a pavilion where I can go hide, a sanctuary. Praise God. Is he a rock of offense? A stumbling block? No, he's our sanctuary. Hallelujah. And he has come to lead us to victory and to save us from our sins. Hallelujah.